FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. And this morning, we're going to be talking about lawns and gardens and things of that sort. And it won't be too long until you'll be ready to start putting seeds in the ground, just a matter of weeks away. And it won't be too long either until you start putting out pre-emergence and stuff like that. Yes, I know it looks like winter outside, and it doesn't feel as much like winter today as it has in the past days. Thank goodness for that. We're up to 58 degrees right now. And Janie Becker is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Janie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Janie also, in addition to her many other duties at the Ag Center, I believe you're the one who coordinates the farmers market and all that stuff.
That's right, I do.
And we're not too far away from that either.
We're not. A lot of those producers are already, you know, working in their greenhouses, and they've been ordering seeds for a month or more, and they're gearing up to provide fresh vegetables to you.
Now, when should we put those first seeds in the ground, whether you're a farmer or a gardener?
Well, it depends on what you're wanting to grow. There are a lot of early spring vegetables, cool season crops that you can grow in your garden. A lot of the cold crops, things like cabbage and kale and cauliflower, those things, you can start your seeds inside and then plant them out, you know, in late February or so,
mm-hmm.
late February, early March, depending on the weather.
And so actually get the seeds now and start them growing inside where it's warmer.
That's right. That's okay. Right. And you can find, there's a lot of great extension publications on spring, summer, and fall vegetables. So you can get guides on a table for each vegetable, or that includes all these different vegetables, and find out the best planting date for inside planting, for outside planting. You can find that at the University of Tennessee Extension website.
And I would guess a very popular type of garden for those who like to garden would be the raised bed garden, because first of all, I think Mitchell has said in the past, you can control the soil so much better. You know you don't have any clay in that one, I guess, unless you want to put it in.
Unless you put it in there. Whatever you put in there is going to be what's in there.
And it's so much easier to work on a garden. You can, you know, fix it where you just sit down on the side of it and mm-hmm. work on it.
Mm-hmm. Those beds warm up more quickly in the spring, so mm-hmm. the temperatures in the soil will be higher than they are in the ground. They don't have all that. It's a looser soil, depending on what you put in there. So the air warms up more quickly. It's a lot more comfortable for especially a lot of elderly people who have back or knee issues. They don't have to bend down on the ground as much, and they can dry out a little faster. So you might have to watch your water, but it's an excellent way to grow for anyone, really.
Yeah, and you know, I guess you could, if you wanted to really create the one that would be easiest for you to maintain, you could fix it where it has a cover of some sort over it, and on days when we're expecting a frost or something, you could put a cover over that, and
mm-hmm.
on days that you're not, you could
right, that there you can make row covers for your raised beds. Even you can put PVC, bend PVC hoops around the edges of your, like from the short side to short side, and hang a row cover that actually make a material that will let the sunlight in,
mm-hmm.
but will prevent, that will help frost protection, and also a lot of your moths and things that, different bugs that you might have trouble with.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
keep them from getting on the plants too. So that's actually an organic growing practice is to use row covers so that mm-hmm. you aren't having to spray because you don't have the insects coming to your plants.
Now, this is pretty far out. Could you put some kind of protection on there within reason?
I count on you for the far out ideas. You never know when there's a gem in there, Bart.
you know, we have these birds and squirrels who seem to go for the tomatoes, especially before you do. Can you put something on this framework to keep them out?
You could theoretically put some kind of a cover over your tomatoes. The thing is that plants like tomatoes and a lot of your midsummer crops that are just hot weather crops, they really need a lot of sunshine. So anything you put over a plant is going to limit some of the sunlight, and it's also going to limit a lot of airflow. And most of your tomato diseases, not counting insects and all that, but the diseases are fungal diseases, and they require a lot of really good air circulation. So you don't want to limit air circulation around plants that have a lot of fungal problems.
Would screens give you enough airflow if you screened in your...
You could put, if you wanted to fashion some sort of a hardware cloth, something that was small enough that, you know, squirrels couldn't get through, or a small chicken wire, maybe a 1-inch chicken wire or something that a squirrel couldn't get their little Weasley body through.
Yeah.
You could put that over your especially raised beds. That would be easier. But then you just got to have an easy mechanism for pulling that back when you want to harvest. So
if you could make it on a frame.
But some people say I don't garden anymore because of the squirrels or the chipmunks or the crows or whatever. So that might be a possibility for you.
Or I'm gardening for the squirrels or something.
Right. You know, you got
we
decide
seem to
which
have
battles.
A lot of those these days.
Yes, there are.
893-1450. If any of you, and I mentioned this phone number, because if any of you have had a way to, you know, solve this problem with the critters getting your fruits before you do, call us and let us know. 893-1450. Maybe you've tried something that works. 893-1450. And in addition to planting, the gardens in the next month or so, putting the seeds in the house right now, getting them going, and then planting them next month, depending on what the seeds are. In addition to that, you could do the soil test right now. That's probably not a bad idea.
Any time of year is a good time, but this is a great time because it gives you a little bit of little head time to go ahead and amend your soils depending on what the recommendations are. So you can give our office a call. We can give you all the ins and outs of how to take a soil sample. The number is 898-7710, and we'll help you with that anytime. It's good to beat the mid to late spring rush because a lot of soil samples start pouring into our office those first sunny days, and it takes a little bit more time to get your results back, but they're still amazingly fast. They get them back within a week or less most of the time.
And if somebody says, well, I want to wait till it's closer to planting season so that the soil will be more accurate, the results will be more accurate, that's
your soil doesn't change. You think about how old your soil is. All soil has been around for a little while, and unless you're making some drastic changes before you take your sampling, it's going to be the same now as it is in April or March.
You mean the soil that we have right here, right now, is probably the same soil that they had back in the Civil War?
Unless it's been turned over. I mean, yes, unless someone's moved it, it's the same soil. So unless someone's made some major amendments, if you live in an area that used to be a farming land, you're going to have some changes because they'd be depleted and fertilizers would have been added. But if it's untouched, it's untouched.
Okay, so check that soil out. As you look at some of the calls you've had over the past week at the Ag Center, what are the predominant questions?
Well, this time of year, it's often about planting and planting trees and shrubs and all of your woody landscaping plants. And now is an excellent time. A day like today, if you can get out there between sprinklings and a little bit of rain, if you don't mind a little bit of rain, it's still a great time. It's warm outside, pleasant for you, and the soil's easy to work, and there's no issues with hard ground. The rains combined with the frost that we have, it loosens the soil up. So frost is actually a good mechanism. The water expansion kind of it aerates the soil. So it makes it easier for you to dig right now.
I understand that there may be still a few openings, just a handful, in that garden basics class that the master gardeners are teaching that starts January 26th.
That's right. There are a few openings. I think 10 or so, maybe a little bit less, but somewhere in there. I was thinking it was a 5-week class, but it's a 6-week class. That meets on Saturday mornings, and it's a good it'll give you a good groundwork for or framework for starting a garden this year. If you've never done it before, it's a good intro to gardening.
Okay. How do you sign up, and is there a cost on it?
It's a $45 charge, mm-hmm. And it's we provide lots of handouts and materials, and I think it meets Saturday mornings from 9 to noon at the Lane Agri Park at our site. You can give us a call and register. You can also find the application online at the Master Gardeners of Rutherford County website, which is www.mastergardeners-rc.org, and you'll find information there about the class.
Okay, and starts January the 26th, but a word to the wise, you need to sign up quickly.
There's just a few spots left, so it's a very popular class every year.
If they have questions, can they call you?
Absolutely.
Okay, 898-7710.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Now, what about, there's another program that's going on or about to go on, for the Tennessee beef producers. Tell us about that.
There's a master beef producer training, and that's coming up. It's I can't remember the number of nights, but it runs from the end of January through March, and it's a Monday night class from 6 to 9. And it's a if you have cattle and you're interested in improving your herd, your management of the herd, it's an excellent class to take. And that's a $50 charge for that class. And Rebecca Norman is the agent in charge of that class, and she'd be happy to field any more detailed questions.
Now, if you sell your beef, are you required to have gone through a class like this? Or is this a government requirement or anything?
Well, it does help for, I think, some grant programs. I think some of the Ag Enhancement Grants, I think it helps to have had this class.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not required if you're selling beef. But it will improve your overall operation if you go. There's always something to learn.
And I would guess that in the cattle farming area, the beef area is probably the most popular right now, isn't it?
As opposed to dairy. As livestock, yes, it is. It's pretty hard to make a living with dairy right now. More and more you see just bigger and bigger operations, not so many. I have a cow in the backyard, or I have, 20 or 50 head. It's hard to keep those milked.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to make a profit, rather, in those small dairy operations, because so much is automated in the dairy industry. The equipment that it requires to stay competitive is often out of people's price range.
Alrighty. 893-1450 if you have a lawn or a garden question, and that's what we are talking about this morning. And we're visiting this morning with Janie Becker from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Our number is 893-1450.
Bart, I wanted to give people the name of the publication if they're looking to start some spring cool season vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
If you search for spring planted cool season vegetables,
mm-hmm.
You'll likely find the publication that it's we've got a very helpful chart, or you can call the office or stop by the office and we can get you a copy of that publication.
Okay, so that'll tell you about the vegetables that you could be
growing right, that you could be starting right now. You don't want to get a head start on some of it. You don't want to start seeding squash or tomatoes in your house right now. For most people, it's going to be too early. You're going to end up with plants that are getting way too big, and you don't have anywhere to put them. So, but some of the cool season stuff, now is a great time to get started.
I tell you, this is going to be an exciting year for gardening, and we're going to be continuing the conversation. We're going to check right now, though, on the traffic and weather. If you're in a traffic jam, stay with us, because we're going to tell you what's happening out there. We'll be right back. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Janie is here to answer and interact with you. Our number is 893-1450. That phone line is open right now.
893-1450. Well, I've been afraid.
Powerful FM signals, one AM signal, and worldwide on WGNSradio.com. You can listen to us anywhere. We are WGNS Murfreesboro.
You
could go all the way at Ford of Murfreesboro. Only Truck Country USA can offer you savings like this. Right now, drive away in a new 2012 Ford F-150 for just $17,990. Not one, everyone. Every new 2012 F-150 with an MSRP of $23,985 is just $17,990. Only at Ford of Murfreesboro, Truck Country USA, the home of the $17,990 F-150.
I'm David Lee. Come see me at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Hi, I'm Robert McConnell from Robert's Auto Repair. If you bring your vehicle to me, it will usually be repaired on the same day. We offer courtesy rides and have a free loaner car for your convenience.
Robert's Auto Repair, honest and fair, on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning. We've got one accident currently being worked by authorities in the 2500 block of South Church Street, causing some busy traffic congestion through there. A bit of congestion still, Old Ford Parkway at Chaffin Place, Old Ford Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96, and Broad at Memorial. Check out the brand new, gorgeous, affordable apartment community at Ridgemont Park in Smyrna, offering a beautiful view from the balconies. Log on to RidgemontPark.com for more details or call 462-6727. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have a chance for some more rain in our forecast this afternoon with high temperatures mild in the upper 60s. And we could see more showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows of 59. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam Donaisty. Right now it's 54.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Center for Cultural Interchange is looking for families to host international high school exchange students that come from all over the world. They're fully insured, bring their own spending money, and want to be involved in family life. To learn more, visit cci-exchange.org.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens now. 893-1450. That's all you do to link in with us this morning. 893-1450. And visiting with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, Agent Janie Becker is here. Janie, I understand that for those of you who have boxwoods, and quite a few of those around, there are some potential problems in that area.
Boxwoods, if you're not familiar with them, they're a very popular foundation plant. They're an evergreen shrub. They've got a really fine, soft appearance, and they're excellent shrubs. But unfortunately, there's been a fungal disease that has come in recent years. It's been a pretty quick spread, started in England in about 20 years or so, or even less, and it's been found in the United States in recent years and is spreading quite quickly. If you have some disease on your boxwoods, or if you're thinking about planting, well, if you find some issues with your boxwoods, please bring in a sample to us so that we can take a look at the issue at the leaves. Bring it before it's dead. A lot of times people will bring a dead plant and ask what happened, and sometimes it's harder than others to determine that. But if you have some sickly leaves or branches that are going downhill, please bring them in so we can take a look. And if you're thinking about planting an evergreen shrub at your house or business, take a second look at rethink putting boxwoods out is what I'm trying to say. There are some varieties. I don't know how readily available they are. There are a few varieties that have shown some tolerance to the blight, mm-hmm. but there's not a whole lot of them. So a lot of our really, really common varieties that you see out there are turning out to be very susceptible. So just a heads up on the shrub front. Take a look at your boxwoods and watch out for, they have a lot of spotting. Or just start to have a general decline, let us know and we'll take a look at that.
Maybe it's just me, but I've noticed around a lot of places that have boxwoods, especially in the summertime, it has a strange smell to it. I mean, when you go to these areas that have a lot of boxwoods, it's a very noticeable smell.
I don't know about that. I'm not familiar with it, but
I'm sure some people think it's a good smell, and it's not a bad smell. It's just a weird smell.
I know a lot of people, junipers are used a lot in plantings, and some people have a very sensitive nose to the juniper smell. It can kind of smell a little like cat urine to some folks, but
wow.
So that's an issue some people will have, but I'll look into that and see if there's some compound in boxwoods that you notice.
Now, when you're putting out shrubs and things of that sort, I remember as a kid always it seemed to be my job to get the little cocoons and things off of it, mm-hmm. the bagworms. I put them in sacks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You had a fun job.
The kids always get those fun jobs. But are there some bushes that are less susceptible to bagworms? Because if you're putting out new bushes, you might as mm-hmm. well find some that are easier to maintain and still look as beautiful.
Well, it depends on what your goal is.
No bagworms.
Well, bagworms are most prevalent on evergreens. So arborvitae, juniper, those are two very common plants that they occur on several different evergreens. Some of your cypresses, and they can also show up even on some deciduous trees. I've seen them on hawthorns. I've seen them on serviceberry. They're very equal opportunity pests in some senses. But the key to the bagworms, it's going to be hard to avoid every plant that they are host to. But early detection is key. You can get to a point where if you notice your bagworms when your tree looks like it's moving, mm-hmm. because there's so many little bagworms on them, it's going to be a lot more difficult to control at that point. But early detection is key.
Well, and do they get way up in a tree? I mean,
they do. So
they can be hard to get.
Arborvitaes are great trees for a lot of reasons, but that's a big problem with some of the really fast growing ones, because they can get quite high up in there, and it's harder to treat.
Mm-hmm.
So the dwarf varieties, it's easier of shrubs that they live on are easier to handle.
Now we're talking about shrubs and bushes and things right now. Let's include trees in on this a little bit more, because what is our window? I know that this time of the year, when the sap is not running, so to speak, is a good time to plant trees and shrubs. How long is that window open? Are we about at the end of the window, or do we have a little bit longer?
Oh, not at all. I would say it's the earlier you get them in, the more acclimated they're going to be to their soil and their environment, and it gives them a little chance for some fine roots to start growing before the summer droughts come in. But I would say it's a safe time to plant trees until the end of March or so. If we have a really warm spring like we did last year, that was a hard season to plant trees and shrubs, because you normally think of the end of March still being cool, but last year, of course, we had people trying to, you know, starting their tomatoes at that time. So, but typically, the end of March, early April is a good kind of, that's the cutoff range for putting out hardwoods.
Toward the end of last year and in the summertime, we had people saying that we were in a drought condition, and we were. Are we out of that drought condition? Now we've had quite a bit of rain, but I don't know how much it takes to catch up with the rainfall and what have you. Is our water table back to where it should be, or do we have a little bit more to go?
We're in pretty good shape in this area right now, and I think, I don't think there's any drought in the Middle Tennessee area. The West Tennessee area has got a little bit, mm-hmm. But right now we're in good shape. It doesn't take it only takes a few weeks of no rain to work us out of that. But right now we're in good shape.
And of course the streams look overflowing.
They look pretty good right now. If you've checked your rain gauge in the last week, you've got a good feeling of what our water table looks like right now.
So I guess the underground water level, because that's the probably one of the more important parts, because when you see these holes opening up in the ground, that's usually because the underground, the water table itself is down, and so the soil that normally is full of water and holds the soil up is down, and the soil caves in, so you have a sinkhole.
You pinpointed a big problem, yeah.
So as long as the water level's up, we're going to have fewer sinkholes, I guess.
It's less likely to have cave-ins.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Doing all right this morning.
Doing great. Thank you.
Good morning.
I've been enjoying your program so far.
Thank you.
Reason I called in, I have buttercups bloomed already, and I was wondering, is that a sign of early spring?
Well, I like that idea if it is. What about that, Janie?
Well, they were blooming already. It might, have they ever bloomed that early before? Some of the varieties are especially early, and sometimes it just takes a week or so of warm temperatures, and it really gets them going, and they get all excited and pop out and start flowering. So the end of January, middle to end of January, is when I've typically seen some buttercups blooming this time in Murfreesboro. So I wouldn't say that it's an indicator of a early spring altogether, but it's an indicator that we've had some good weather in recent weeks.
Yes, they've been blooming for about two weeks.
2 weeks. I would say that's early.
Yes. And I've been listening to you talk about the squirrels and putting fences around the little chicken wire fence. It don't work, hon. It really don't work.
It doesn't. Okay.
They're crafty critters, aren't they?
Yeah, they clam, and I think the best thing for them is just hate to say it, abuse. Pull the trigger.
Oh, no. Well, do you have a good recipe for squirrels?
Yeah.
It tastes like chicken.
Yeah, you know, story, Bart.
Oh, yeah,
I just thought I'd call in, you know. But there's a question I got to ask. On grass seed, I threw some out, and they're still laying on the ground. If snow and ice get on, will that kill those seeds, keep them from growing?
Well, what type of seed did you put out?
Well, it's a cool season.
It shouldn't hurt them. We haven't had any seriously low temperatures. I would like in the low teens or anything like that. If you put any straw over them, that gives them a little bit of insulative protection from snow and ice. But just a little bit probably shouldn't affect them that much. How long ago did you put it out?
Oh, it's been, I think, about a week or two, or a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh. Do you have any straw covering them?
No, I didn't put any straw over them. That's when I was asking this question.
I would still think that they could germinate by this time if the seed was in good shape in the first place. But you might go out and buy a bale of straw and put a thin layer on top of them. That'll help for one, it'll help the seed stay in place. If you start getting rain runoff, it'll make it a little bit harder for the birds to get every single one of them, and it'll protect them from some of the from being too dry or from being too dry. It'll give them a more steady environment to sprout. But I give them a little bit more time.
Okay. Well, y'all have a good day.
Thanks
too,
for calling. Have a
all
great
right.
day yourself. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number, and maybe somebody can take what he brought up and run with it, because there are probably some folklore thoughts on early blooms of buttercups.
Does I don't doubt anything? It at all. I think that if there's a prediction to be made, somebody's out there doing it.
That's right. So if you have a folklore thought on that, give us a shout. 893-1450. What does it mean if the buttercups bloom early? 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. And if you have a helpful idea on how to control squirrels, call us. You know, we seem to have had more squirrels this past year. They were in, big variety of them out there.
Well, we had a really good mass crop with all the different nuts and seeds there, mm-hmm. that they thrive on. So whenever you've got a lot more food, you're going to have a lot more critters. So that might be one reason.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Fine, Bart. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
What it means by the buttercups is that we've not had a harsh winter.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, too.
I've seen them bloom around Valentine's Day in the snow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't hurt them a bit. They just tilted their heads for a little bit, and then they're right back up again.
Yep.
But I have them in the bud just about ready to pop out, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some mild winters when you think it's over and you think, man, spring's here. And then all of a sudden you get snow.
Exactly. And it kills all flowers that you set out and you have to redo, okay?
You thought you had just about made it through there. Well, do you have an answer for the critters' problems?
No, we've had the squirrel problem, and I quit feeding them at my back door, and I don't have as many.
Mm-hmm.
I would say not.
I got tired of those little boogers and everything.
You know, they almost become pets. They're not going to come up and play with you or any. I don't guess they do, but if you feed them, they hang around.
I've seen them eat out of people's hands if they really get trained.
Oh, that's right, at parks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had one that broke a beautiful glass hummingbird feeder, and I decided right then, no more feed for you.
Uh huh. Step one in preventing squirrels is don't feed them.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thanks
thank you.
For calling. And that's true with stray animals that are walking around,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. If you're offering something, they're going to come up.
Yeah,
so.
Cats, dogs, whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess deer,
mm-hmm.
too.
Oh, sure.
What about turkeys?
If you put corn out, they'll come.
Turkeys
mm-hmm.
like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And our turkey population seems to really be increasing. I mean, I'm seeing turkeys everywhere.
Again, a good food source. We've had a lot of really good. Last year, we had a fairly mild season or winter last year, too, when we had a great nut crop and seed crop, and they just take off on it.
Mm-hmm. But
there's
some
decreased predation too. The turkey population's gone crazy for a lot of things. It's a very positive success story in bringing back a species.
But yeah, that's right, because mm-hmm. the TWRA mm-hmm. a few years ago was trying to restock the area with turkey, and they had all sorts of protective laws in place, and they did a good job. Because now we have lots of turkeys. You can drive around in subdivisions and see.
The place.
Yeah, they just wander through.
We had a pet turkey at the ag center last winter or the winter
turkey.
Before.
Okay.
Well, it was always there, no matter
Did
where
have
you
a
looked.
Name?
I didn't name him, but he greeted me every day at my building. He was there without fail. But, he was a messy little guy too. So.
Do they get really friendly? I mean,
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
They get used to you, so they're maybe less afraid of you. But I haven't heard of a turkey getting domesticated
okay.
I mean, in recent years, any of the wild turkeys. But I'm sure anything's possible.
I remember when I was a kid, my favorite pet, looking back over the pets that I had, was a goat.
Mm-hmm.
They, or at least this goat. Became part of the family. And when I'd get up and go outside in the morning, the goat would stand up and beg for me to come mm-hmm. pet her and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just, those are great pets, by the mm-hmm. way. So
a good one, yeah.
The neighbors seem to not agree that it was a good pet, because we would occasionally get out and they had a beautiful flower bed. And for some reason, that goat thought it was beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm. Would eat everything in it.
Yeah, absolutely. 893-1450 is our number. If you have a question or a comment this morning, give us a call. 893-1450. Janie Becker is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the weather. We'll be right back. If you have a story about daffodils or squirrels or goats or turkeys, maybe a good deer story, call us, 893-1450. Now that's the number to call. And are you ready for spring? Are you ready to start putting out those cool season gardens? Now's the time to prepare for them.
Radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
For decades, we've been telling you that Bell Furniture has first quality name brand furniture half price every day. Now this locally owned family business has pictures of some of their furniture on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com. Save with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture. 1517, the New Nashville Highway,
halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
And on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com.
This is Tina Fox at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. We have a wide selection of the Watkins products. We have the Watkins vanilla flavoring. We have a lot of your other flavorings like lemon, peppermint. This is Tina at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. We have everything those farmers will need. We have everything from fencing to chicken coops to wire to gloves to do those outside activities, anything the farmer would need. The Co-op Farm and Home Center is at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
We'll have a chance for some more rain in our forecast this afternoon with high temperatures mild in the upper 60s, and we could see more showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows of 59. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sandra Neisty. Right now it's 54.
This is Sheila from Ryan Flowers and Gifts.
Sports,
we've been here in Murfreesboro for over 70 years. If you ever need anything for any particular occasion, please give us a call. We have items starting out at $35 for your funeral needs. We also have your tapestries, your angels, churches, books of love for anything that you may need for that special loved one who has passed on. Ryan's Flowers and Gifts is located at 117 South Academy Street. Our phone number, 615-893-7134.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
You turn it around.
Welcome back, and we may hear some rolling thunder today. That probably has some significance, too, if you hear rolling thunder. I'm not sure.
I'm sure they can find it in
under
anything.
The bed or something.
Pull
like
out
that.
Your almanac and see what they say.
Oh, 893-1450 is our number. Janie Becker's with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, and she has been doing some instant research on the turkey population in Rutherford County.
Well, I was trying to find some information on the rates of increase. I know they started in the early mid 80s with trapping turkey populations in different parts of the state and relocating mm-hmm. them and encouraging them to spread and spread and spread. And I was trying to find some rates of spread, and I couldn't find it just now. But I know the information's out there. I've seen it.
It's sort of backfired sometimes. Didn't they try to do that up in East Tennessee with wild boars?
I don't know about wild boars, but they did with elk.
Elk, okay.
And that's been moderately successful. They've had some rough winters and some rough feed availability and that sort of thing with elk. But I haven't looked into that recently. But wild boars, there's not likely
I mean, they're doing real well, I understand.
The wild boars are doing very well. Yes, they are. they pretty well take wherever they land, and they own it in no time. So, it's always tricky when you try to mess with nature and bring something in that that either hasn't been around in a while and may not have the right predator prey balance in existence, or that isn't from here and doesn't have a predator at all, and it might solve one problem and create many more. So it's tricky to deal with nature.
I was just sort of checking on the wild boar, trying to see about their repopulation efforts, and came up, it says Tennessee's single most destructive animal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dangerous too.
They are dangerous. They can maul you, and they've got tusks, and they're fairly smart critters too. So they're elusive and powerful.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Just fine. You
doing fine?
I was just wondering. I think I heard y'all say, is the buttercups already out in Murfreesboro?
Yeah, somebody called us and said
that. I've seen some buds up, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some flowers soon.
You don't know where they've seen them at?
Not specifically, but...
I think he was in the city limits. I mean,
all right. Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Do you have them at your place?
No, but I do know a place on Main Street that usually has them pretty early.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Well, start driving by and look for those green stems coming up. It seems like one day they come out of the ground, and then 2 days later they're flowering. So mm-hmm. they're quick to flower.
Now, do those come out about the same time daffodils do?
Well, buttercups are
the same
daffodils.
Thing. Okay, uh-huh. That's what I thought, but I didn't want.
But there's a lot of different varieties that are made to come out early, mid, and late season. So you can get some daffodils coming out all the way into April, early May.
Okay. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Yes, me again, Bart.
Hey.
The guy just called about the buttercups. I'm down on the old National Highway down by the battleground.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And one thing I'd say about that, knowing that, is you've probably got some pretty shallow soils, don't you?
Beg your pardon?
You've got some pretty shallow soils.
Yes, it seemed like it, because I see the trees, the roots of you, they've come toward the top of the ground, you
mm-hmm.
can see them. So
mm-hmm.
I guess it's shallow.
Yeah, when you if you have real shallow soils, you're not going to have as much of a buffer from the highs and lows of temperature. So if you've got a real mild winter, your soils are going to be generally warmer.
When you say shallow soils, what do you mean? Is rock?
Well, I was thinking out around the battlefield in a lot of areas of Rutherford County, you've got a lot of very shallow bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
So the soil layer on top of the bedrock, there's not a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
And you don't have as much of a buffer from the highs and lows of temperatures, and things can get a head start earlier.
Yes.
But they can also dry out a lot faster, too, because they don't have all that subsoil below them to provide moisture. You know
yep.
all about that, though, don't you?
it's really not rocky where I stay at. It's on down from the battlefield, but it just got shallow. The ground is just shallow around the tree where the buttercups are. I got them surrounding the tree,
mm-hmm.
and it's a sort of low place, right? You know, around the tree and stuff, where it's sort of like a slope, like it drains, mm-hmm. like, and that's makes the water shallow. I mean, ground shallow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the dirt just running on down through the front. Line, well, you know, they got drain like lines in front of the houses and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, keep the water from standing.
Now, how close are you to the battlefield? Pretty close, sir?
Oh, yeah, Bart. It wouldn't take me 2 minutes to leave from here and get to the battleground.
Now, we've been talking about animals. Have you ever seen that ghost horse at night that supposedly runs around the battlefield?
No, I hadn't, but I've seen a bunch of different stuff run across the highway at night. I haven't seen the horse yet.
Okay. Do you have turkeys and stuff like that?
Oh, man, they flagging cars down out here trying to get a ride.
Oh, boy.
It's overload.
Everywhere out there.
Yes, overload.
Well, make a note on your calendar when you saw those blooming for the first time this year, and you can watch it next year and see how it compares.
Yes, well... It's the second year that it's been the second year that they came out like this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, last winter was just about like this and starting off
right.
real warm and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be interesting to sort of follow that. So 2 years in a row, that's starting a trend, it sounds like.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thanks for calling.
All right, then. You have a blessing.
You too. Bye-bye. 893-1450. We've got about 4 minutes left in the program, so if you have a thought or a comment, dial quickly. 893-1450 and be a part of the program. Maybe you've seen some of these critters around. 893-1450. And he says he sees a lot of them crossing the roads, and some of them I've seen don't make it across the road. I haven't seen any turkeys, but lots of skunks and possums and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
I've got a problem with moles. What would be the best suggestion for that?
Okay. What about getting rid of moles?
Well, typically the best thing, there's a lot of old wives' tales and different thoughts on what gets rid of them, but the best thing is to trap them. That's the only way you know that you've gotten them out of your yard. You can make them change tunnels. You can make them go to your neighbor's yard. You can do a bunch of things, but the only way to the surefire way to know you got rid of them is to use a trap of some sort.
Okay, and you can get those where?
You can get those at the co-op. You can get those at Tractor Supply. There's a number of locations like that you can get them.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. Trap them and take them somewhere else.
Well, by trapping, it means a permanent dispatching of the animal.
We won't even go there.
or get a good terrier, and they'll probably take care of your yard too, and then make it look a little lumpier. But
here's our final call for the morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today? Hello. Hi. Good morning.
Hi. What can you tell me about barn owls? We've had one come and visit us the last couple of days in a tree right outside of our window, mm-hmm. and we're just kind of curious about their life and their what they eat and things like that.
Well, do you have barn owls are named so because they're really fond of living in structures or in trees close to large open areas. They feed mainly on small rodents and so on, and you'll generally find them where you've got a lot of pasture. Do you have some open area nearby?
Yeah, we have a 5-acre piece of land. We're right behind the Ag Center.
Uh-huh.
I can walk right across to your land. But he's been coming in right close to the house where there's lots of trees.
Well, that's a real treat to see him and to hear him.
Yeah, we've got some wonderful pictures of him.
Uh-huh. Well, nice. I like to hear him. You can look for all, there's some sites that will play all the different sounds that owls make, so you can distinguish which ones. Well, that's the main thing that I know right off the top of my head is that they're generally found in areas where there's farmland, and that's why they're in low numbers in some areas because there's more areas that are being developed and populated, and there's not as much open space for them.
Thank you for calling too, and we're flat out of time. Janie Becker, our guest this morning, from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. If you have any questions, give them a call. What's that phone number at the Ag Center again?
It's 898-7710.
So if you have questions about boxwoods or anything.
Barn owls or whatever.
Any kind of critters you might have. Janie, thanks for joining us.